Jason the Key, our guy, J-Mac,
is here in studio. Shay's the executive producer. Jay Moore's at the controls. I'm David Kaplan. 312-332-3776. It's a football Friday. Bears at Saints. Last time they won, a certain friend of ours scored the game-winning touchdown. You'll hear that on the show today. Courtney Cronin, 8:35, sets the stage for it. And we'll have the weekend weather with Tracy. J-Mac, we're ready to go. Bears and Saints, man. Him won since 1991 there.
All these stats, man. It's unbelievable, right? You look back at, you know, like you said, history since 1991, and you're trying to find the silver lining in this season. Mm-hmm. And it's like it's just bad stat after bad stat. And you think something's got to go good for us, right?
Right.
Something.
At some point.
Anything.
Right.
I mean, it's so frustrating. And, you know, me having the opportunity to be able to see it from a different perspective, to be on the sideline and to watch the game and break it down from that perspective, it's tough because, you know, we were talking before we got on air, like, these guys, they bust their behinds. Players, coaches, everybody in that building. I know they're busting their behinds to go out there to be competitive, to go out there and put wins together. And as a player, when you're going through the daily grind, right, the weekly grind in preparation for a game, I mean, you're watching film, you're lifting weights, you're doing that, you're practicing, you're doing everything you can to put your best foot forward and to go out there and to not have the results, you know, week in, week out, it's tough. It's tough to have that same mindset and mentality to, one, to have that belief into what your coach is saying. You know, he's saying all the right things. We're getting better. We're heading in the right direction. But we're not getting the results as a player. You know, those questions start to pop in your head. And that's just human nature.
Correct. I mean, hear the coach and it's, here we go again.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, oh, he said that last week.
Right.
He said that yesterday.
We're getting close.
Yeah.
Still coach.
But you're still far.
Right.
Like, how close are we getting, but we're so far? How close are we getting we just got destroyed by the Chargers? Like, as a player, that's tough. And especially if you're one of those players that's doing your job, you know, you're performing, you're a part of the solution, not the problem. And to see that the same results over and over again, it's tough. It really is. I've been in a locker room like that. It's hard. You know, Lovey's first year, I think we were 5-11.
Mm-hmm.
And it was tough. And I was a young guy. I was just trying to fit in and try to find my footing. And it was tough back then. And, you know, you had to play well because I'm trying to make sure I'm on this team next year.
Right.
I want to make sure I'm in the NFL next year. I want to be here in Chicago. I want to be on this roster. Made a lot of friends. Got a lot of great teammates. A lot of great players in this locker room. I got to make sure I'm doing my job so I'm here next year. But it's still tough to hear that same coaches speak over and over again. But then you go on the field and you're getting the same results.
So when you're playing and going through this whole thing, I've heard Tommy and Olin and Yerk. Yerk said, man, you're either all in or you're going to get killed out there. And that was his lifestyle till he retired.
Yep.
Now he's a radio dude. He's awesome. When you're going through that, it's not a couple hours of practice, head home, relax. No, it's like 24/7.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, you're always trying to find a way. Like, you start to second guess yourself. Well, I've watched 4 hours of film. Did I watch enough? You know, I lifted. Did I lift enough? You know, do I need to stay after practice and get some extra reps? Well, I stayed after practice for like 40 minutes. You know,
I stayed for an hour.
Yes, exactly. You're always going to second guess yourself when things aren't going right. But, you know, that's what you like in a situation like this. It's a team game, right? It takes a total team to win. But at the same time, when things are going bad like this and there may be change that may, you know, upcoming change that may happen, right? It's almost individualized. Now I'm like, okay, I've got to perform well. Like I just said, I've got to perform well to make sure that I'm here. Or if I'm not here, that I have good enough film, I have a good enough resume to be on another team next year.
Looking at the Saints, I watched the all 22 of the Bears. I went back and watched some of the Saints. That's a pretty solid football team.
Yeah,
it is. They're not elite. They're not winning the Super Bowl. This is a hell of a challenge, man, to go in that building where you haven't won since 1991.
Yeah.
How hard will it be? Going to have to use some silent count. It's going to get loud. Second or third start now for an undrafted Division II quarterback who has no real rhythm yet with his team. Mm-hmm. He's playing when they did not think he'd play. It would be Justin. And, wow, silent count? Like, how hard is that?
It's tough. I mean, it changes the whole dynamic of your offense. And we saw that last week. I mean, at SoFi Stadium, it was
loud. It wasn't that loud, was it?
It was loud. It was loud. And me, Jeff, and Tom on the call, we kept talking about how loud it was. And it's loud because they play the music loud, too. And they were playing the music while the guys were in the huddle. And it was loud.
A lot of Bears fans. A
ton of Bears fans, which was shocking. I walked in and I looked around. I saw, oh, man, this feels like Chicago West.
Yeah.
I loved it. I loved it. But to your point, Cap, it's going to be a challenge offensively. And you look at the way that we struggled last week offensively. We can never get in rhythm because there was always either a pre-snap penalty, holding, you know, all these things that will stall an offense, all those things that will take you out of rhythm. And when you have those things, you can never get started. And going into New Orleans where you have the crowd is going to be ridiculous. It's loud. Like, those are the things that you have to overcome. Like, you've got to be close to perfect if you want things to go your way or if you want to have a chance at being effective on offense. And, like, that silent count, that's one thing. Like you said, young quarterback getting another opportunity to go out there and to lead this offense. So he's got to continue to get better. Is this one of the best defenses we face this year? You know, I'm not going to say they are, but they're a tough defense. I mean, you've got some guys that can make plays. Damarre Davis, middle linebackers, all over the field. Cam Jordan, we know what he does. So, but it's about us. It's about us. And, you know, what I want those players to do is forget about all the outside adversity that you've had, you know, week in and week out. Forget about all the outside noise and focus on us. Like, how do we get better as a team? How do we get better, you know, player-wise in terms of, like, it doesn't matter what everybody else thinks because the players are the guys that's out there on the field. And, you know, like I said before the other day, somebody has to step up in that locker room and say, you know what, let's cut the BS. It's about us. Let's go out here and play our brand of football and let's stop listening to the naysayers and all this stuff. But let's go out here, let's execute and play hard football. And if we do those things and we stop doing things to hurt ourselves and we play fundamental football, it gives us a chance to win.
So when you guys were playing, like, here's my question. Bajent is this neophyte in the huddle. He's a young kid.
Yep.
He's got ability, though. There's a reason he's there. He's got talent. Like, what, your quarterbacks you played for with Orton?
About 20 of them. Maybe more than that.
Who
Maybe
was the guy that was the most in command in the huddle? Because I heard the story, someone was telling me that played on the 85 Bears, and they said when McMahon first started, like 82 or 83, they said he wasn't the starter yet. He comes in the game, and everybody's chirping.
Yeah.
And he said, okay, shut the F up. No one speaks in my huddle again. Are we clear? Whoa. And one of the linemen, I think it was Noah Jackson, said, we've never had that before.
Mm-hmm.
Some guy that, I'm the boss, shut up.
Yeah.
And it changed. Who was that guy?
Man, that's a good, we had so many guys. I think Kyle did a great job of commanding attention in the huddle.
Kyle Orton.
Yeah, Kyle Orton. And, he had a way of showing you, like, he was confident. Hey, we're gonna score on this play. Hey, we're gonna put together a drive here. When you have a quarterback that comes in a huddle and he can, you know, give you that confidence, he's confident in himself, but he's confident in which he can, you know, help you guys believe that he can lead and that you can go down and score, that resonates throughout that huddle. Like, we believe, too, now, because I feel like, okay, my quarterback has command. He's telling us we're going to do this. Let's go out here and do it. When you got a guy that comes in the huddle and he's like, and he forgets the whole play call, he forgets the protection. I'm like, hey, what's the protection? You know what I mean? What's the play?
Were you there with Cade McNown?
No, I wasn't. I wasn't there with Cade.
Because I was told that he literally came in, did no homework, didn't watch film, and literally called something out. And I don't know if it was Olin at center or who was the guy, before Casey Wegman.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have that in our playbook. What?
When you have somebody like that, you're like, oh, man.
You played with one like that?
Yes. And I won't say his name. And the funny thing is, you talk about Olin. Brother, we talk about this all the time. And there was a quarterback that came in a huddle. And I remember him coming in a huddle, and he's, like, shaking, right? And he's like, you know, he's in the huddle, and he's calling the play. And he forgets, like I said, he forgets the protection. And it looked like he's tearing up in the huddle. And I look at Thomas Jones. I was like, is he crying? And Thomas Jones is like, he's like, yo, what's the protection? What's the protection? And in my head, I'm like, oh, man, we lost. But this guy, he wasn't the starter. But guess what? In meetings, he knew everything. Meetings, he knew every play, knew every coverage. He could coach you up. He knew what the receivers were running. He knew if they had the side adjustments, if certain pressures were coming.
But in battle, he freaked.
Man, in battle, I was shocked because in meetings, we're like, man, like, you know, before he gets out there on the field.
This dude's going to be good.
We're like, we got one. Brother, we got one. T. Jones, we got one. He's going to be good. We get out there, and it was shocking. It was like when the lights come on, you're either going to be a dog or you're going to be a deer in headlights. And he was definitely a deer. I will not say his name, though.
Wow.
Yeah.
Was it Jay?
No, it wasn't Jay. It wasn't Jay. It wasn't Jay. No.
It's a football Friday here. So what are you out there as you get in the car? One more day and I get my weekend. What are you expecting to see when you watch the Bears and the Saints on Sunday? 8.5 points is the spread now. 8.5. So Vegas has no confidence. They were 8.5, 9 last week, depending on where you shop, against the Chargers and got beat 30-13. So what are you expecting to see? With Jason McKee, I'm David Kaplan, 312-332-3776. It's a football Friday, Bears Saints on Sunday. A bunch of good college football this weekend. We got Clemson at Notre Dame.
Some good football, man.
Some really good football.
Yeah. Exciting.
Hey, we're doing our picks later. Shay, how do you not have the Clemson-Notre Dame game on our list? Washington at USC, LSU at Alabama. Like, there's some really good games. And your team, Carmel, is playing Antioch at Antioch.
Yeah.
You're in the state playoffs. Yeah. Round two.
I appreciate it, man. The kids will be thrilled that you mentioned them. But it's been a good journey. I took over that program back in COVID. It was a struggle. We took our lumps. We were getting blown out by a lot of great programs that's, you know, in the Catholic League Conference. And our kids have matured. I think my coaching staff, they've done a good job of coaching and developing guys. And now, you know, we're the guys dishing out punishment. So
you're 9-1.
We're 9-1. Yeah. So it's been fun, man. And it's just having an opportunity to have guys like, you know, Olin Kreutz's offensive line coach, Rasheed Davis is our offensive coordinator. You know, Billy Moore, who was at Loyola, is our defensive coordinator. We got a lot of great guys on our staff. A lot of guys that have a lot of coaching experience, but also young guys who are energetic, who have a high mental aptitude of the game. But the common denominator is we care about our kids as people and not just players. And I think our kids, they receive that, so they'll run through a brick wall for us. And it's just been great. Like, the community's great. The administration's behind us. And we're trying to take this thing to the pinnacle, man. It's been a great ride, and it's just a blessing to be in the situation, and I'm just excited to play tomorrow. I can't wait to see our kids.
Yeah,
play.
I'm waiting for my wife to text me back. I'm like, hon, do we have anything tomorrow? Because we may go up to Antioch.
Come on up, Cap. Come on.
God, that would be. So
I'm gonna get Brother O on you, man. You know he's gonna make you come now.
He will. Yeah, Brother O. Yes, sir. Man. I'll be there. 312-332-3776. Bears and Saints. I said this on the air the other day. You may tell me I'm nuts. I think the offense, and I know we don't know who the quarterback's going to be yet, but I think the rest of the offense is getting closer. You got to get a center in here that can play. Like Lucas Patrick. Sylvie had a great line yesterday. He said, oh, we got bad news on the Bears injury report. Oh, what's that? And Waddle said, who didn't practice? He goes, no, Lucas Patrick was a full participant. I'm like, oh, that's pretty good. Hey, they have got to go out and get a real – look, Olin's going to go to the Hall of Fame. I'm not expecting a Hall of Fame center. Just get a really good – he can recognize the defense. He can hold his quarterback accountable, help him, get the snap back there.
Yeah, you talk about the quarterback, right? We're talking about, do we have a quarterback here? We're talking about Bage. We're talking about Fields. But you need a quarterback on that offensive line, which starts with the center.
Correct.
The center is the quarterback.
Correct.
He sets the protections, right? The center on the offensive line is the culture builder. Like, he sets the standard for that offensive line. And you talk about Olin Kreutz. That's why offensive line was so great when I was here because Olin set the standard, not just the protection and stuff like that on the field. He set the standard on the offensive line. Guys were lifting hard. Guys were staying after practice. Guys were watching film together. They were going to O-line dinners together because they were continuing to build that continuity and chemistry that you need to be successful on Sunday. So it doesn't just, like, what you do in the building and as an offensive line, that it goes beyond that if you want to have success, right? You got to have that chemistry off the field. You've got to have chemistry with the guy next to you because offensive line, you got to work together. These protections is all synchronized. It all works together. And if you don't have that command from that center position, that quarterback, well, guess what? It's not going to work.
So Ryan Poles was telling me and Hoodie a story when we were at Indy for the Combine, and I'm hoping we're down there again this year. It's a cool experience. He said, I'm an undrafted rookie free agent trying to make the Bears from Boston College. Olin takes the entire offensive line to dinner. He said, oh, I'm getting to go to that? Yeah, every offensive lineman in camp, I got it. I'm taking you all to dinner. He goes, we go to some steakhouse in Chicago, and I just want to be invisible. I'll take the salmon and the broccoli. He said, that's all I ordered.
Uh-oh.
Here comes the waiter. He sets the trays down. Who's got the salmon? And he's like, oh, wait a minute.
Yep.
You're at a steakhouse and you ordered effing salmon?
Yeah.
What are you, out of your mind?
Yeah.
Yeah, he said right away, Olin was pissed.
Yeah, he ain't having it.
Right.
He ain't having it. Like, and that's what I mean. Like, like I said, the standard is going to be upheld, whether it's at dinner, in the weight room. And like I told you, Kat, before we got on air, like, you're not practicing today? What? If you didn't practice, not just Olin, you had all kind of guys looking at you sideways.
Brown.
Yeah, Reuben Brown, another guy. You know, Mike Brown. Like if I didn't practice, I felt so bad that I felt like I was letting my teammates down. That's the accountability that we had amongst each other. That's how close we were with each other. Because I'm sitting here, right, and I remember when I tore my pec, I had to sit out. And I was so bad that I wasn't physically able to be out there with my guys. I'm seeing them guys grind through practice or grinding through games and even grinding through training camp. And I'm sitting here and I can't practice. One, it's killing me to the core because I want to be out there. But two, I felt like I was letting them down. And that's the type of standard and accountability that we had amongst each other in that locker room. And like I said before, it's bigger than the coach, than the GM. If you want to be great, right? If you want to be a great team, the players set the standard. You got to be player-led, not coach-led. If you're coach-led, you're going to be an average team. If you're player-led, you have a chance of being an elite team.
Wow.
That's where it starts. But
can that happen with the youngest roster going?
Yeah.
Because can a bunch of rookies and second-year guys do that?
Yeah, it's got to start somewhere. The foundation has to be laid somewhere. I don't care if you're an undrafted guy, if you're going out there and you're producing, right? But if you're also, when you're in that building and you're holding yourself to a high standard, you're doing everything right, but you're also saying, hey, man, let's watch some extra film. Or I'm taking receivers as a young quarterback and I'm saying, hey, you know what? Practice is over, but we're not done. We didn't get that right in practice. We got to get it right. Because if you think you can walk off the practice field and not have things right, and then you think you're going to all of a sudden get it right in the game, well, guess what? You're going to continue to get your butt whooped every Sunday. So if I have a guy, I don't care what round he was drafted in, if he's taking that leadership and holding everybody else accountable and say, hey, no, we're staying after, and we're going to run this until we get it right. Well, guess what? If you do that, guys will follow. But you have to be doing anything right yourself. You can't be a guy that's like, oh, I'm leaving the facility early, and now, oh, one day out of the week, let's stay after. No, it's got to be every day. Because, guy, I mean, the best of the best. So if they see that you're a fake leader, or that you're showing fake leadership, you're done. Like, look at this clown right here. What is he talking about? I mean, that's how the game goes.
Wow. Let's go to the phones. 312-332-3776. Football Friday. J-Max here. We're having fun just talking ball. Matt is in Streamwood. He's first. Hey, Matt. What's up, Sparky?
Hey, Cap. Hey, Mr. McKee. Thanks for taking my phone call.
Hey, man. How you Cap, doing?
Good. Thank you. Man, as you, like, regarding when I listened to Ryan Poles' interview this week, and he was talking glowingly about Jalen Johnson's situation and about Bontez Sweat and Coach Eberflus. And when it came to Justin, all he said, Captain Mr. McKee, was that he just said he wanted what's best for the team. So it seems to me when we're playing this week that he's already out on Justin. They already ruled him out on Monday, and it just seems like to me that for this team, Kevin, Mr. McKee, that they're riding with Tyson Bagent, and as long as he doesn't turn the ball over and do fumbles like Justin did, and just that they're going to ride with Tyson Bagent this year, and just to see how many wins they can do and how much they can. I think that they're just going to possibly they're done with Justin Fields, and that they're just going to try to say that the thumb is just not healed and he's just not gripping his strength-wise, like he cannot grip the ball. And so I'm just worried that with this coaching staff and with this regime, that the only one that Ryan Poles seems to be out on, regardless of the players, is just Justin Fields.
Thoughts?
Yeah.
Thanks, man. Appreciate the call.
Thank you.
Yeah, Cap, I just think Justin's going to be back in the lineup. I think they like Bagent. Justin's still hurt with that thumb. You know, I think it is true what they're saying, the grip strength, stuff like that. I think that's true. But there's still a lot of evaluation that needs to be done on Justin. That's the main thing. Like, they're not going to put him on the shelf and say, hey, we're completely done with Justin. There's still evaluation for everybody, not just Justin, for the entire roster. So I think he will be back in the lineup.
So if they were to somehow stun the world and win Sunday, and Justin says Monday, I think I can go. You're putting him back in?
Depends on how Tyson plays. I mean, I think Justin's coming back in regardless. Like, there's an evaluation, a lot of evaluation that's left to be made on Justin Fields.
So I've always believed the end of this year, look, they're not going to the playoffs. They're 2-6. Mm-hmm. They're not going to get on a hot run here. It's not going to happen. At the end of the year, the one thing I have to know, is he my quarterback or not? Yep. Because if I've got Carolina's pick and my pick, and they're both in the top five, I'm either getting my next quarterback or I'm trading those picks for a ton of capital to fix my roster, and I'm rolling with him, or I'm signing a veteran quarterback. I got to know, in or out, period.
Yeah, 100%.
I don't think he's the guy.
Yeah.
I will be shocked if he's here next year. What about you?
Yeah, I just think it depends upon how he plays. And I think it's a lot of things that's happened with Justin. Is it his fault? Yeah, for sure. Does he hold the ball too long? Yeah. Does he make mistakes? Yeah. But I also think he has weapons around him, but I also think it's them devising a consistent game plan, right, that accentuates his skill sets, right? Mm-hmm. Get him out of the pocket, doing things like that. Give him high, easy completions.
So why aren't they doing that?
That's the puzzling thing. You see it a couple weeks, and he excels. Four touchdowns. Yeah, it's against bad defenses, but it's a game plan, right? And it's play calls that's geared toward his skill set. Then you go back, all of a sudden, in the next week, you see he's sitting in a pocket. He's getting sacked, holding the ball too long. That's the frustrating part. And it makes you wonder, maybe they don't want that type of quarterback.
Like the play he got hurt on, I've watched it 100 times. He held the ball. It took a stopwatch.
Yeah, way too long.
6.19 seconds.
Yeah.
Tyson Bagent, the ball's out. 2.2, 2.5, never longer than that.
Yeah.
Bam. Reed, gone. I mean.
Yeah, and you think about it, right? The coordinator comes from, you know, and it comes from a system from that team up north where they had Aaron Rodgers. Ball was gone.
Out.
Quick. Immediately. Justin's not that type of quarterback. And if you're the coordinator, he doesn't know how to devise a consistent game plan for Justin's skill set. That's one of the biggest problems.
Correct. Which it tells me maybe they don't want him to be their guy. I would just get through this. He does it the way we see it happening, or we're moving on. We're not going to tailor a zone read type offense to him.
Right. And that's what we've seen week in and week out with the inconsistency in the game.
Like, you were on the sidelines. Shay, you were listening to this, Jay Moore. When Chris Collinsworth on Sunday Night Football saying, yeah, Justin can learn a lot from watching Tyson Bagent play. I'm like, if I'm Justin, I'm like, what? Really? Like, it was almost the talking points that the Bears had. Here, Chris, talk about that. It was like, if I was Justin, I'd be pissed.
He should be, but...
Do you think they showed him that film? Now, here's a guy, drops back quick, gets the ball out. I think the Bears, when they look at this, they're going, we want to teach Fields some of this Bajan kid stuff.
Right, and so...
Show him that.
Justin's on the sideline, He's listening to the play call. He's not watching it.
Yeah.
Soon as he gets back on his phone, his girlfriend or his mom and dad or his agent or his best friends are texting him going, dude, they're saying you could learn by watching Bajent. What?
I mean, as a player, you're going to be pissed. Yeah.
Yeah.
You should be pissed if you're not.
You told me, oh, wow, that's like a Hall of Fame quarterback that I want you to learn. He's a second round. He's just a Division II undrafted rookie.
Yeah. But at the same time, like, totally different skill sets. And like you just said, Cap, if you're trying to force a Justin Fields who doesn't have, right, that pocket passer mentality, right, mm-hmm. that internal clock in terms of getting rid of the football
right.
into an offense that requires you to process and do those things at a high level, this is what you got. You got what we've had with Justin game in and game out.
Correct.
But when you devise a game plan, like I said, that accentuates his skill set, similar to some of the things that he did in college, you know, then you got a productive guy. But if you have a coordinator that doesn't want to do that, well, guess what? You're going to get the ebbs and flows of Justin Fields like we've seen here his whole career.
But the coordinator works for the head coach, and the head coach works for the GM. So they're all culpable.
Yeah, and if they want a system, right, like the one we've seen, a game plan like we've seen the past few weeks with Tyson under center, well, guess what? Like you said, Cap, Justin won't be here. You got to find a quarterback that can do that.
I'm a former basketball coach. It would be like having, you know, five guys that are big, thick, slow, but man, are they strong. We're going to run and press 94 feet, and we're getting beat down the court. Why don't you run a half-court offense and dive the ball inside? Yeah. Oh, boy, you look like a different team.
Exactly.
It is what it is. McKee, our guy, J-Mac, is here in studio. Shay's the executive producer. Jay Moore's at the controls. I'm David Kaplan. 312-332-3776. It's a football Friday. Bears at Saints. Last time they won, a certain friend of ours scored the game-winning touchdown. You'll hear that on the show today. Courtney Cronin, 835, sets the stage for it. And we'll have the weekend weather with Tracy. J-Mac! We're ready to go, Bears and Saints, man. Haven't won since 1991 there.
Mm-mm. All these stats, man. It's unbelievable, right? You look back at, you know, like you said, history since 1991, and you're trying to find the silver lining in this season. Mm-hmm. And it's like it's just bad stat after bad stat. And you think something's got to go good for us, right?
Right.
Something.
At some point.
Anything.
Right.
I mean, it's so frustrating, and, you know, me having the opportunity to be able to see it from a different perspective, to be on the sideline and to watch the game and break it down from that perspective. It's tough because, you know, we were talking before we got on air, like, these guys, they bust their behinds. Players, coaches, everybody in that building. I know they're busting their behinds to go out there to be competitive, to go out there and put wins together. And as a player, when you're going through the daily grind, right, the weekly grind in preparation for a game, I mean, you're watching film, you're lifting weights, you're doing that, you're practicing, you're doing everything you can to put your best foot forward and to go out there and to not have the results, you know, week in, week out. It's tough. It's tough to have that same mindset and mentality to have that belief into what your coach is saying. You know, he's saying all the right things. We're getting better. We're heading in the right direction, but we're not getting the results as a player. You know, those questions start to pop in your head, and that's just human nature.
Correct. I mean, hear the coach, and it's, here we go again.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, oh. He said that last week.
Right.
He said that yesterday.
We're getting close.
Yeah.
Still, coach.
But you're still far.
Right.
Like, how close are we getting, but we're so far? How close are we getting when we just got destroyed by the Chargers? Like, as a player, that's tough. And especially if you're one of those players that's doing your job, you know, you're performing, you're a part of the solution, not the problem. And to see that the same results over and over again, it's tough. It really is. I've been in a locker room like that. It's hard. You know, Lovey's first year, I think we were 5-11,
mm-hmm.
and it was tough. And I was a young guy. I was just trying to fit in and try to find my footing, and it was tough back then. And you know, you had to play well because I'm trying to make sure I'm on this team next year.
Right.
I want to make sure I'm in the NFL next year. I want to be here in Chicago. I want to be on this roster. Made a lot of friends, got a lot of great teammates, a lot of great players in this locker room. I got to make sure I'm doing my job so I'm here next year. But it's still tough to hear that same coaches speak over and over again, but then you go on the field and you're getting the same results.
So when you're playing and going through this whole thing, I've heard Tommy and Olin and Yerk. Yerk said, man, you're either all in or you're going to get killed out there. And that was his lifestyle till he retired.
Yep.
Now he's a radio dude. He's awesome. When you're going through that, it's not a couple hours of practice, head home, relax. No, it's like 24/7.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, you're always trying to find a way. Like, you start to second guess yourself. Well, I've watched 4 hours of film. Did I watch enough? You know, I lifted. Did I lift enough? You know, do I need to stay after practice and get some extra reps? Well, I stayed after practice for like 40 minutes. You know,
should
what
I
mean?
Stayed for an hour?
Yes, exactly. You're always going to second guess yourself when things aren't going right. But, you know, that's what you like in a situation like this. It's a team game, right? It takes a total team to win. But at the same time, when things are going bad like this and there may be change that may, you know, upcoming change that may happen, right? It's almost individualized. Now I'm like, okay, I've got to perform well. Like I just said, I've got to perform well to make sure that I'm here. Or if I'm not here, that I have good enough film, I have a good enough resume to be on another team next year.
Looking at the Saints, I watched the all 22 of the Bears. I went back and watched some of the Saints. That's a pretty solid football team.
Yeah.
It is. They're not elite. They're not winning the Super Bowl. This is a hell of a challenge, man, to go in that building where you haven't won since 1991.
Yeah.
How hard will it be? Going to have to use some silent count. It's going to get loud. Second or third start now for an undrafted Division II quarterback who has no real rhythm yet with his team.
Mm-hmm.
He's playing when they did not think he'd play. It would be Justin. And, wow, silent count? Like, how hard is that?
It's tough. I mean, it changes the whole dynamic of your offense. And we saw that last week. I mean, at SoFi Stadium, it was loud.
It wasn't
loud
that loud, was it?
It was loud. It was loud. And me, Jeff, and Tom on the call, we kept talking about how loud it was. And it's loud because they play the music loud, too. And mm-hmm. they were playing the music while the guys were in the huddle. And it was loud.
A lot of Bears fans.
A ton of Bears fans, which was shocking. I walked in and I looked around. I saw, oh, man, this feels like Chicago West.
Yeah.
I loved it. I loved it. But to your point, Cap, it's going to be a challenge offensively. And you look at the way that we struggled last week offensively. We can never get in rhythm because there was always either a pre-snap penalty, holding, you know, all these things that will stall an offense, all those things that will take you out of rhythm. And when you have those things, you can never get started. And going into New Orleans, where you have the crowd is going to be ridiculous, it's loud. Like, those are the things that you have to overcome. Like, you've got to be close to perfect if you want things to go your way, or if you want to have a chance at being effective on offense. And, like, that silent count, that's one thing. Like you said, young quarterback getting another opportunity to go out there and to lead this offense. So he's got to continue to get better. Is this one of the best defenses we faced this year? You know, I'm not going to say they are, but they're a tough defense. I mean, you've got some guys that can make plays. Damarra Davis, middle linebackers all over the field. Cam Jordan, we know what he does. So, but it's about us. It's about us. And, you know, what I want those players to do is forget about all the outside adversity that you've had, you know, week in and week out. Forget about all the outside noise and focus on us. Like, how do we get better as a team? How do we get better, you know, player-wise in terms of, like, it doesn't matter what everybody else thinks because the players are the guys that's out there on the field. And, you know, like I said before the other day, somebody has to step up in that locker room and say, you know what, let's cut the BS. It's about us. Let's go out here and play our brand of football, and let's stop listening to the naysayers and all this stuff. But let's go out here, let's execute and play hard football. And if we do those things and we stop doing things to hurt ourselves and we play fundamental football, it gives us a chance to win.
So when you guys were playing, like, here's my question. Bajent is this neophyte in the huddle. He's mm-hmm. a young kid.
Yep.
He's got ability, though. There's a reason he's there. He's got talent. Like, what your quarterbacks you played for with Orton?
About 20 of them. Maybe more than that.
Who
Maybe
was the guy that was the most in command in the huddle? Because I heard the story. Someone was telling me that played on the 85 Bears, and they said when McMahon first started, like 82, 82 or 83. He said he wasn't the starter yet. He comes in the game, and everybody's chirping.
Yeah.
And he said, okay, shut the F up. No one speaks in my huddle again. Are we clear? Whoa. And one of the linemen, I think it was Noah Jackson, said, we've never had that before.
Mm-hmm.
Some guy that, I'm the boss, shut up.
Yeah.
And it changed. Who was that guy?
Man, that's a good. We had so many guys. Kyle, I think Kyle did a great job of commanding, attention in the huddle.
Kyle Orton.
Yeah, Kyle Orton. And he had a way of showing you, like, he was confident. Hey, we're gonna score on this play. Hey, we're gonna put together a drive here. When you have a quarterback that comes in a huddle and he can, give you that confidence. He's confident in himself, but he's confident in which he can, help you guys believe that he can lead and that you can go down and score. That resonates throughout that huddle. Like, we believe too now, because I feel like, okay, my quarterback has command. He's telling us we're going to do this. Let's go out here and do it. When you got a guy that comes in the huddle and he's like, and he forgets the whole play call, he forgets the protection. I'm like, hey, what's the protection? You know what I mean? What's the play?
Were you there with Cade McNown?
No, I wasn't. I wasn't there with Cade.
Because I was told that he literally came in, did no homework, didn't watch film, and literally called something out. And I don't know if it was Olin at center or who was the guy before? Casey Wegman.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have that in our playbook. What?
When you have somebody like that, you're like, oh, man.
You played one like that?
Yes. And I won't say his name. And the funny thing is, you talk about Olin. Brother, we talk about this all the time. And there was a quarterback that came in a huddle. And I remember him coming in a huddle, and he's like shaking, right? And he's like, he's in the huddle and he's calling the play and he forgets, like I said, he forgets the protection and it looked like he's tearing up in the huddle. And I look at Thomas Jones, I was like, is he crying? And Thomas Jones is like, he's like, yo, what's the protection? What's the protection? And in my head, I'm like, oh man, we lost. But this guy, he wasn't the starter, but guess what? In meetings, he knew everything. Meetings, he knew every play, he knew every coverage. He could coach you up. He knew what the receivers were running. You knew if they had the side adjustments, if certain pressures
but
were coming.
But in battle, he freaked.
Man, in battle, I was shocked because in meetings, we're like, man, like, before he gets out there on the field.
This dude's going to be good.
We're like, we got one. We got one, brother. We got one. T. Jones, we got one. He's going to be good. We get out there, and it was shocking. It was like when the lights come on, you're either going to be a dog or you're going to be a deer in headlights. And he was definitely a deer. I will not say his name, though.
Wow.
Yeah.
Was it Jay?
No, it wasn't Jay. It wasn't Jay. No.
It's a football Friday here. So what are you out there as you get in the car? One more day and I get my weekend. What are you expecting to see when you watch the Bears and the Saints on Sunday? 8.5 points is the spread now. 8.5. So Vegas has no confidence. They were 8.5, 9. Last week, depending on where you shop, against the Chargers and got beat 30-13. So what are you expecting to see? With Jason McKee, I'm David Kaplan, 312-332-3776. It's a Football Friday, Bears Saints on Sunday. Bunch of good college football this weekend. We got Clemson at Notre Dame.
Good football, man.
Some really good football.
Yeah. Exciting.
Hey, we're doing our picks later. Shay, how do you not have the Clemson-Notre Dame game on our list?
Mm.
Washington at USC, LSU at Alabama. Like, there's some really good games. And your team, Carmel, is playing Antioch at Antioch.
Yeah.
You're in the state playoffs.
Yeah.
Round two.
I appreciate it, man. The kids will be thrilled that you mentioned them. But yeah, it's been a good journey. I took over that program back in COVID. It was a struggle. We took our lumps. We were getting blown out by a lot of great programs that's, in the Catholic League Conference. And our kids have matured. I think my coaching staff, they've done a good job of coaching and developing guys. And now, we're the guys dishing out punishment. So
you're 9-1.
We're 9-1. Yeah. So it's been fun, man. And it's just having an opportunity to have guys like, Olin Kreutz's offensive line coach, Rasheed Davis, our offensive coordinator, You know, Billy Moore, who was at Loyola, is our defensive coordinator. We got a lot of great guys on our staff. A lot of guys that have a lot of coaching experience, but also young guys who are energetic, who have a high mental aptitude of the game. But the common denominator is we care about our kids as people and not just players. And I think our kids, they receive that, so they'll run through a brick wall for us. And it's just been great. Like, the community's great. The administration's behind us. And, you know, we're trying to take this thing to the pinnacle, man. It's been a great ride, and it's just a blessing to be in the situation, and I'm just excited to play tomorrow. I can't wait to see our kids.
Yeah,
play.
I'm waiting for my wife to text me back. I'm like, hon, do we have anything tomorrow? Because we may go up to Antioch.
Come on up, Cap. Come on.
God, that would be. So
I'm gonna get Brother O on you, man. You know he's gonna make you come now.
He will. Yeah, Brother O, yes, sir. Man. I'll be there. 312-332-3776. Bears and Saints. I said this on the air the other day. You may tell me I'm nuts. I think the offense, and I know we don't know who the quarterback's going to be yet, but I think the rest of the offense is getting closer. You got to get a center in here that can play. Like Lucas Patrick. Sylvie had a great line yesterday. He said, oh, we got bad news on the Bears injury report. Oh, what's that? And Waddle said, who didn't practice? He goes, no, Lucas Patrick was a full participant. I'm like, oh, that's pretty good. Hey, they have got to go out and get a real – look, Olin's going to go to the Hall of Fame. I'm not expecting a Hall of Fame center. Just get a really good – he can recognize the defense. He can hold his quarterback accountable, help him get the snap back there.
Yeah, you talk about the quarterback, right? We're talking about, do we have a quarterback here? We're talking about Bage and we're talking about Fields, but you need a quarterback on that offensive line, which starts with the center.
Correct.
The center is the quarterback.
Correct.
He sets the protections, right? The center on the offensive line is the culture builder. Like, he sets the standard for that offensive line. And you talk about Olin Krutz. That's why offensive line was so great when I was here, because Olin set the standard, not just the protection and stuff like that on the field. He set the standard on the offensive line. Guys were lifting hard. Guys were staying after practice. Guys were watching film together. They were going to O-line dinners together because they were continuing to build that continuity and chemistry that you need to be successful on Sunday. So it doesn't just, like, what you do in the building and as an offensive line, that it goes beyond that if you want to have success, right? You got to have that chemistry off the field. You've got to have chemistry with the guy next to you, because offensive line, you got to work together. These protections is all synchronized. It all works together. And if you don't have that command from that center position, that quarterback, well, guess what? It's not going to work.
So Ryan Poles was telling me and Hoodie a story when we were at Indy for the combine, and I'm hoping we're down there again this year. It's a cool experience. He said, I'm an undrafted rookie free agent trying to make the Bears from Boston College. Olin takes the entire offensive line to dinner. He said, oh, I'm getting to go to that? Yeah, every offensive lineman in camp, I got it. I'm taking you all to dinner. He goes, we go to some steakhouse in Chicago, and I just want to be invisible. I'll take the salmon and the broccoli. He said, that's all I ordered.
Uh-oh.
Here comes the waiter. He sets the trays down. Who's got the salmon? And he's like, oh, wait a minute.
Yep.
You're at a steakhouse and you ordered effing salmon?
Yeah.
What are you, out of your mind?
Yeah.
Yeah, he said right away, Olin was pissed.
Yeah, you ain't having it.
Right.
You ain't having it. Like, and that's what I mean. Like, like I said, the standard is going to be upheld, whether it's at dinner, in the weight room. Like I told you, Kat, before we got on air, like, you're not practicing today? What? If you didn't practice, not just Olin, you had all kind of guys looking at you sideways. Reuben Brown, another guy, you know, Mike Brown. Like if I didn't practice, I felt so bad that I felt like I was letting my teammates down. That's the accountability that we had amongst each other. That's how close we were with each other. Because I'm sitting here, right, and I remember when I tore my pec, I had to sit out, and I was so bad that I wasn't physically able to be out there with my guys. I'm seeing them guys grind through practice, or grinding through games, and even grinding through training camp. And I'm sitting here, and I can't practice. One, it's killing me to the core because I want to be out there. But two, I felt like I was letting them down. And that's the type of standard and accountability that we had amongst each other in that locker room. And like I said before, it's bigger than the coach, than the GM, if you want to be great, right? If you want to be a great team, the players set the standard. You got to be player-led, not coach-led. If you're coach-led, you're going to be an average team. If you're player-led, you have a chance of being an elite team.
Wow.
And that's where it starts.
But can that happen with like the youngest roster going?
Yeah.
Because can all a bunch of rookies and second-year guys do that?
Yeah, it's got to start somewhere. The foundation has to be laid somewhere. I don't care if you're an undrafted guy, if you're going out there and you're producing, right? But if you're also, when you're in that building and you're holding yourself to a high standard, you're doing everything right, but you're also saying, hey, man, let's watch some extra film. Or I'm taking receivers as a young quarterback and I'm saying, hey, you know what? Practice is over, but we're not done. We didn't get that right in practice. We got to get it right. Because if you think you can walk off the practice field and not have things right, and then you think you're going to all of a sudden get it right in the game, well, guess what? You're going to continue to get your butt whooped every Sunday. So if I have a guy, I don't care what round he was drafted in, if he's taking that leadership and holding everybody else accountable and say, hey, no, we're staying after, and we're going to run this until we get it right. Well, guess what? If you do that, guys will follow. But you have to be doing anything right yourself. You can't be a guy that's like, oh, I'm leaving the facility early, and now, oh, one day out of the week, let's stay after. No, it's got to be every day. Because, guy, I mean, the best of the best. So if they see that you're a fake leader or that you're showing fake leadership, you're done. Like, look at this clown right here. What is he talking about? I mean, that's how the game goes.
Wow. Let's go to the phones. 312-332-3776. Football Friday. J-Max here. We're having fun just talking ball. Matt is in Streamwood. He's first. Hey, Matt. What's up, Sparky?
Hey, Cap. Hey, Mr. McKee. Thanks for taking my phone call.
Hey, man. How you doing?
Good. Thank you. Man, as you like regarding when I listened to Ryan Pohl's interview this week and he was talking glowingly about Jalen Johnson's situation and about Bontez Sweat and Coach Eberflus, and when it came to Justin, all he said, Captain Mr. McKee, was that he just said he wanted what's best for the team. So it seems to me when we're playing this week that he's already out on Justin. They already ruled him out on Monday, and it just seems like to me that for this team, Captain Mr. McKee, that They're riding with Tyson Bagent, and as long as he doesn't turn the ball over and do fumbles like Justin did, and just that they're going to ride with Tyson Bagent this year, and just to see how many wins they can do and how much they can. I think that they're just going to possibly they're done with Justin Fields, and that they're just going to try to say that the thumb is just not healed and he's just not gripping it strength wise, like he cannot grip the ball. And so I'm just worried that with this coaching staff and with this regime, that the only one that Ryan Pohl seems to be out on, regardless of the players, is just Justin Fields.
Thoughts?
Yeah,
thanks, man. Appreciate the call.
Thank you.
Yeah, Cap. I just think Justin's going to be back in the lineup. I think they like Bagent. Justin's still hurt with that thumb. You know, I think it is true what they're saying, the grip strength, stuff like that. I think that's true, but there's still a lot of evaluation that needs to be done on Justin. That's the main thing. Like, they're not going to put him on the shelf and say, hey, we're completely done with Justin. There's still there's evaluation for everybody, not just Justin, for the entire roster. So I think he will be back in the lineup.
So if they were to somehow stun the world and win Sunday, and Justin says Monday, I think I can go. You're putting him back in?
Depends on how Tyson plays. I mean, I think Justin's coming back in regardless. Like, there's an evaluation, a lot of evaluation that's left to be made on Justin Fields.
So I've always believed the end of this year, look, they're not going to the playoffs. They're 2-6. They're not going to get on a hot run here. It's not going to happen. At the end of the year, the one thing I have to know, is he my quarterback or not? Yep. Because if I've got Carolina's pick and my pick, and they're both in the top five, I'm either getting my next quarterback or I'm trading those picks for a ton of capital to fix my roster, and I'm rolling with him or I'm signing a veteran quarterback. I got to know, in or out, period.
Yeah, 100%.
I don't think he's the guy.
Yeah.
I will be shocked if he's here next year. What about you?
Yeah, I just think it depends upon how he plays. And I think it's a lot of things that's happened with Justin. Is it his fault? Yeah, for sure. Does he hold the ball too long? Yeah. Does he make mistakes? Yeah. But I also think he has weapons around him, but I also think it's them devising a consistent game plan, right, that accentuates his skill sets, right? Mm-hmm. Get him out of the pocket, doing things like that, give him easy completions.
So why aren't they doing that?
That's the puzzling thing. You see it a couple weeks, and he excels. Four touchdowns. Yeah, it's against bad defenses, but it's a game plan, right? And it's play calls that's geared toward his skill set. Then you go back, all of a sudden, then the next week you see he's sitting in a pocket, he's getting sacked, holding the ball too long. That's the frustrating part. And it makes you wonder, maybe they don't want that type of quarterback.
Like the play he got hurt on, I've watched it 100 times. He held the ball. It took a stopwatch.
Yeah, way too long.
6.19 seconds.
Yeah.
Tyson Bagent, the ball's out. 2.2, 2.5, never longer than that.
Yeah.
Bam. Reed, gone. I mean.
Yeah, and you think about it, right? The coordinator comes from, you know, and it comes from a system from that team up north where they had Aaron Rodgers. That correct. Ball was gone.
Out.
Out. Quick. Immediately. Justin's not that type of quarterback. And if you're the coordinator, he doesn't know how to devise a consistent game plan for Justin's skill set. That's one of the biggest problems.
Correct. Which it tells me maybe they don't want him to be their guy. I would just get through this. He does it the way we see it happening, or we're moving on. We're not going to tailor a zone read type offense to him.
Right. And that's what we've seen week in and week out with the inconsistency in the game.
Like, you were on the sidelines. Shay, you were listening to this, Jay Moore, when Chris Collinsworth on Sunday Night Football saying, yeah, Justin can learn a lot from watching Tyson Bagent play. I'm like, if I'm Justin, I'm like, what? Really? Like, it was almost the talking points that the Bears had. Here, Chris, talk about that. It was like, if I was Justin, I'd be pissed.
He should be, but
do you think they showed him that film? Now, here's a guy, drops back quick, gets the ball out. I think the Bears, when they look at this, they're going, we want to teach Fields some of this Bajan kid stuff.
Right, and so
show him that.
Justin's on the sideline. He's listening to the play call. He's not watching it.
Yeah.
Soon as he gets back on his phone, his girlfriend or his mom and dad or his agent or his best friends are texting him going, dude, they're saying you could learn by watching Bagent. What?
I mean, as a player, you're going to be pissed. Yeah.
Yeah.
You should be pissed if you're not.
You told me, oh, wow, that's like a Hall of Fame quarterback that I want you to learn. He's a second round. He's just a Division II undrafted rookie.
Yeah. But at the same time, like, totally different skill sets. And like you just said, Cap, if you're trying to force a Justin Fields who doesn't have, that pocket passer mentality, right, that internal clock in terms of getting rid of the football into an offense that requires you to process and do those things at a high level, this is what you got. You got what we've had with Justin game in and game out.
Correct.
But when you devise a game plan, like I said, that accentuates his skill set, similar to some of the things that he did in college, you know, then you got a productive guy. But if you have a coordinator that doesn't want to do that, well, guess what? You're going to get the ebbs and flows of Justin Fields like we've seen his whole career.
But the coordinator works for the head coach, and the head coach works for the GM, so they're all culpable.
Yeah, and if they want a system, right, like the one we've seen, a game plan like we've seen the past few weeks with Tyson under center, well, guess what? Like you said, Cap, Justin won't be here. You got to find a quarterback that can do that.
I'm a former basketball coach. It would be like having, you know, five guys that are big, thick, slow, but man, are they strong. We're going to run and press 94 feet, and we're getting beat down the court. Why don't you run a half-court offense and dive the ball inside? Yeah. Oh, boy, you look like a different team.
Exactly.
It is what it is.